it's really an issue of human rights. It's not an issue of charity. So basically, the right to be employed is something very basic that everybody should have, whether he has a disability or not.
Welcome to the Imagine Israel podcast, brought to you by the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington. Imagine Israel is the initiative of the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington, connecting Washingtonians to Israel and Israelis through the lens of social change. With every Imagine Israel podcast, we get to meet innovative Israeli influencers and change makers, people addressing social and economic challenges in Israel. We'll hear from people whose lives and whose work intersect as they address issues in Israeli society. And I'm your host, Robbie Grindgrass, and I'm coming to you from Makom, the Israel Education Lab of the Jewish Agency for Israel. This episode, we're going to be talking with Avner Stepak. Until very recently, he was the CEO of Meitav Dash Investment House. While building up Meitav Dash into the second largest investment house in Israel, he also set up Incorporate Israel, or Esek Shaveh in Hebrew, revolutionizing Israel's corporate world by helping them to bring people with disabilities into Israel's workforce. Now, Avner thinks large scale, and as we like to say in Israel, he thinks tachlis. It's the practical stuff. And what makes this chat with Avner even more interesting is that he's actually working with the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington. Incorporate Israel, or Esek Shaveh, receives some $40,000 from the Jewish Federation and is operated by one of Federation's major overseas partners, the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, or the Joint, or the JDC. It's a program of the JDC with funding from the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington. So for all these reasons, we thought we'd check out what he's up to. So I'm sitting on the 26th floor lobby of a Tel Aviv skyscraper, overlooking the city of Tel Aviv from the pristine glass walls of this corporate tower. And this guy in slacks and a t-shirt comes out to say hello. Avner Stepak, it would seem, does not conform to the status quo. So, Avner, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
And here is quite an interesting place. I came up, I think, about 26 stories up to this huge skyscraper in Tel Aviv, looking across, looks like all of Tel Aviv. I'm imagining on a clear day we can see the sea.
Sure, yeah.
This is where you began your business?
Well, not physically. We started in a very tiny office not far from here in Ramat Gan, which was like probably, I'd guess, about 100 square feet or so, just one small room. And we grew up later on in Ramat Gan, Tel Aviv, until we came to these offices.
And how long have you been doing this kind of work?
37 years, since I was at age five I started, actually.
Age five.
It wasn't this kind of work, but
okay.
Work in general, yeah.
The family business, you started early.
Yeah, I joined my father pretty much when he started the business 37 years ago. Obviously, I was doing, you know, all kinds of technical stuff when I was a kid. I worked all through elementary school, high school. I used to come every day after school, and all the vacations I spent here. It was only my grandmother who was like the bookkeeper. My father was the professional on, you know, investment, stock exchange, etc. Uh-huh. And me doing the real technical stuff, like, you know, putting statements, client statements in envelopes and stuff like that. Later on, I became more and more involved in the business. Today, I do corporate strategy, business development. I sit on my board, of course, and I'm full-time here in the business.
And yet, the reason why we're sitting with you is not necessarily to talk about the huge changes that you brought about in your own company or in your family's company, but in the changes that you brought about within your company and now throughout Israel in business. So looking to incorporate people with disabilities into the workspace in Israel, an organization which was called Incorporate Israel, and which is now moving over to its Israeli name more?
Yeah, Esek Shaveh, that's the Hebrew name for it, which is a kind of an equal business. Sounds better actually in Hebrew, but Shaveh is like, you know, it's one of the
better. Worthy, is yeah. worth something.
Exactly.
So equal worth is the idea yeah. of Shaveh. Interesting.
I always wanted to do something, the things that are strategic. And it's not instead of, you know, writing checks for some non-profits, mm-hmm. which are less strategic, but I believe that this subject of employment in general, and specifically employment of people with disabilities, is a very strategic issue for the Israeli economy. It's not just strategic in the sense that we take care of tens of thousands of Israelis with disabilities. It's much more than that, the way I look at it.
Why is it so important for Israel?
Well, first of all, the GDP of the Israeli economy, we're losing about 5 billion shekels every year, which is a huge number in Israeli terms, on the level of unemployment of those people with disabilities. And wow. that's only the direct loss. That does not include the fact that when those people are, and when I say direct loss, meaning that many of those people who live from social welfare these days, if they had a job, obviously they don't need right. the social welfare right. anymore, or they need less of it. So that's what I call direct costs that the Israeli economy is losing every year. That's those 5 billion. Then you have the indirect contribution, which is, you know, those people who have more money, they consume more, they, mm-hmm. you know, it's great for the economy. And if you look from the, then that's on the macro level. If you look from the individual point of view, basically, it's the right, you know, the right to be employed. It's not something like, you know, I don't look at it as a chesed or tzedakah or, you know.
It's not charity.
It shouldn't be charity. It's a basic human being rights. And I think we're just helping them to actually, you know, to get it.
How did you get into this? Where did all this begin?
I'm always asked this question, obviously. All my friends ask me. Everybody's sure I have at least one, a son, a daughter, or I don't know, a parent, anyone with disabilities. I think statistically, I don't even know one. I don't have anybody, not friends, not family. I'll tell you, in 2008, there was a committee by the Prime Minister's office in Israel. And the issue was employment of people with disabilities. And they were negotiating with people from the non-profit organization and uh-huh. the government. But there weren't any employers on this committee. So after 18 months, they called me asking me whether I am willing to join as well. And they took 3 employers just out of, I don't know, by mistake. I mean, I didn't have any experience, so I wasn't known for that.
They just figured you might be a worthwhile yeah. try.
So I did. And I asked my HR manager at the time, Ruti, tell me how many people with disabilities do we have in the organization uh-huh. and do you get CVs of those people? Because I don't remember seeing anyone here uh-huh. on a wheelchair or blind or deaf or whatever. And she says, listen, there aren't any. We're not getting any CVs. And I said, maybe you're wrong and you're getting, but your people are not choosing those people for interviews. She said, listen, most people with disabilities wouldn't even write about their disability in a CV. At the time, at least, it was obviously a disadvantage.
Right.
So if there were such people, I would have met them here because they would appear in interviews. But I'm telling you, I never saw anyone.
I wouldn't have even had the chance yeah. to discriminate against them because yeah, I wouldn't exactly. have known I had the opportunity.
So I go back to this government committee. I tell them, listen, you all here are touching this audience. I'm willing to do a project, a pilot kind of project here uh-huh. in Meitav. And to get some employees with disabilities. And I'll tell you how it works. We meet every week and this committee was very intense. And I can tell you on real time.
But hang on a minute. You're a busy business person. And yet you went to a weekly meeting?
Yeah, almost weekly. We had like every 10 days we had a meeting, 3 hours. I found it very interesting because I understood very fast one thing. It's strategic, it's macroistic, it's not another one non-profit issue that solves the problem for 30 youth at risk or people, whatever. And then
this has the chance of influencing a whole country.
For sure, yeah. And at the time when I came back to this committee and told them, listen, I have no experience. My HR people say there aren't such people.
So I know nothing about this.
I know nothing, but you all are here. You know the subject well. You know people with disabilities. Please send me CVs. I'll get them a job here with Meitav. And huh. we'll see how it works. And after about 2 months and probably 6 meetings or so, I got 0 CVs from them either.
Wow.
So I said, listen, there's no such, there's not really a problem. You're just inventing a story. All people with disabilities are employed. They're all happy.
Or there are no people with disabilities.
Or there are no people with disabilities. especially in Israel with all the wars and everything, of course we do not have we don't know people with disabilities. So bottom line, I understood that the cure won't come from this government committee. I put an ad in a web forum, a group of deaf people that opened this forum. Okay. I put an ad with my name and my email, and I said, listen, we're hiring deaf people, which I had nothing, I knew nothing of before, and please send us CVs. And I got about 30 CVs within two weeks.
This is your personal email, and you are the CEO of the entire company?
Which at the time was 500 people, yeah, and now is over 1,000. And okay.
That's not micromanaging at all.
No. I really wanted to understand it personally, to get to understand what's the problem, where are those people, and why? What are they doing and why aren't they working? And then I got those first 30 CVs, out of which I took 4 employees, all of which, by the way, are still employed here today. It was like 7 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And basically what we did since is we studied, we saw how it works. We enlarged them significantly. Today they're about 4%. A bit over 4%, 4.5% of our employees, over 40 employees.
So how did it work with the first 4? What jobs were they doing?
Mainly back office administration. Mm-hmm. And later on, we decided to start a specific department for people with disabilities, for deaf people, mm-hmm. which is called Written Language Client Service, which means all the chats on the website.
Written Language Client Service. Okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
Everything with SMS, chats, WhatsApp, whatever, is done by those people. Very effective, by the way. Huh. Today we are about 12 people over there that are all deaf people.
Wow.
So when you get the service from a Tavdash rep, you don't know he's deaf, of course, because he doesn't put it on his on his signature on the email, but you do get a very good service, and deaf people are much more effective, by the way, than people that hear, because they can think of it, we can hardly talk to 2 people simultaneously on a chat, okay?
But right.
A guy or a woman who's deaf can do maybe 4 or 5 simultaneously.
So it sounds like that what you've actually ended up doing is turn what would seem to be a handicap of deaf people and moved it into an advantage, because they're far more skilled at communicating through typing and keyboards, and so you've turned it into a strength.
Yes, actually, deaf people are the hardest group of people with disabilities, and it's not very trivial, because when you look at somebody who's deaf, you know, he looks complete, okay, he has no disability that is you can
that's
see,
yes,
and
course.
Everything looks fine. But then when you think of it, there are 2 basic skills that everybody needs today in the modern business sector. It's a computer and a telephone. Now, deaf people cannot use the phone, obviously. They can use computer. They're actually usually much better than most of us in computers.
Right.
But think of people who are blind, for example. They can use the phone. They have all the software needed to text to speech, speech to, right, to right. text, etc. So they can use both computer and a phone. The same applies for somebody in a wheelchair and everything else. And actually, I found out that the deaf people are the toughest group out of the 7 groups of people with disabilities. And yes, it's an advantage. And now we're copying, pasting the same system, this internal startup we started here with this client service department, to other companies in Israel like AAG, Visa, and other investment houses. And I find it very fascinating, this kind of group. But to be frank, if you look at most of groups of people with disabilities, people with physical, mental disabilities, hearing or deaf people or blind people, to some extent a large chunk of autistic, especially in those that are high functioning like Asperger, most of them are actually better in average than people without disabilities. Not that I believe that there are people without disabilities, that's another issue. But they are better because, you know, they have high motivation to work. Retention is very high. They do not tend to switch jobs every 6 or 12 months.
Right.
And they're very loyal both to the people who hire them and to the organization as a whole.
So it sounds like it's also very logical. Like, it makes good business sense, it makes good social sense. So why did you need to connect to the JDC and to the Greater Washington Federation through the JDC? What was the need to set up a specific NGO to push this forward, Esek Shaveh? You'd think it's kind of, well, it should just take off like wildfire.
Yeah, okay. So unfortunately, it sounds easy, logical, as you said. By the way, if it wasn't logical, it wouldn't work, that's for sure. But obviously reality is a bit more complicated. So basically...
Damn it, it always is, isn't
yeah.
it?
So basically you have two strategic problems, one on the demand side, one on the supply side.
Mm-hmm.
On the corporate sector, I would say in general, a lot of us that work in the corporate sector, no matter what level, we suffer from prejudice. We suffer from, I would say, the fear of those people. Maybe they will sue me because if I want to fire them, what happens? They will go to sue me because I fired them for their disability, etc. And they probably cannot really function as regular employees. They will probably be only half an employee. And it's not like this, as I said, in reality. And the other problem, to be frank, on the individual side and the people with disability side, is that many of them, I would say, lack the confidence. They're lost already, okay? They've been too many years out of the out of the employment market, and they tried earlier in, you know, earlier stages, in, let's say in their 20s, to send CVs. They didn't get any job interviews. They didn't get any jobs, many of them. So in a sense, they become too alienated from this market, and they lost hope. So they sit at home, living from social welfare, and not even trying anymore to get a job. And in between the supply and the demand, you have the intermediates, which are basically about 1,000 people in Israel with a profile of social workers. So they'd be working for either government agencies like Bituach Lumi, National Security, or what we call Shirut HaTasuka, the employment service, or they would be working for dozens of NGOs whose DNA are not to have people employed, but they're doing it as part of the total, you know, the other services they give. So, for example, if you look at the deaf NGO that deals with deaf people, and it does tons of social stuff for them, and they also have a social worker part-time trying to get them jobs.
Now, the problem with... It's mostly dealing with the fallout of not having a job rather than trying to find them the job.
Yeah, and the problem with all those people, which are excellent people, and obviously they have very good intentions... They are social workers as a type. They don't speak HR. They don't speak the business language. So they cannot go to the HR department of a big high-tech company in Israel and try to sell them the people that they accompany. So think of...
they're not bilingual.
Yeah. And this social worker, let's say, who accompanies, let's say, 10 clients, and the clients would be, let's say, people with mental illness, and they're trying to get them a job. Mm-hmm. But themselves, the intermediate, as I said, as a social worker, he's never worked for a company. He doesn't know how it works, you know, what exactly are the HR looking for, etc.
What are they listening out for?
And from the employer side, to be frank, the big corporates of Israel, they cannot work with 1,000 people. So they would typically work either direct, they advertise jobs, or they use maybe 1, 2, or maximum 3 recruitment companies. But they would not open the door for any social worker who has, let's say, 5, 10, 7, whatever, you know, clients. To,
it just doesn't fit the system.
Yeah. So what we are trying to do is to be kind of an integrator exactly here between the companies and the individuals through using this network of social workers. So, for example, if we go to a company.
When you say we...
We is Esek Shave, of course,
Esek Shave.
Esek Shave, yeah, I didn't answer you.
and that fitted with the JDC, the joint. How does that fit?
I approached the JDC. To be frank, it was due to a very successful previous venture I had with JDC, which started 10 years ago. It was Midot, another nonprofit that deals with valuation of nonprofits in Israel.
Mm.
And at the time, I must say, I was highly surprised how we can actually open a company which was set 50-50 between JDC and Meitav. It was a non-for-profit company, of course. Non-profit.
Hang on,
for
what
me.
Was the surprise? The surprise that
the
it
surprise
would...
is that a company, a business company in capital markets, can get together with JDC, which is basically a non-profit organization,
philanthropy,
and you know, and it works, and it works not just in setting up a non-profit, but you know, in managing it.
Nice surprises.
Yeah, in the board level and everything, we got along very good. And it was only natural for me when I had this idea with employment of people with disabilities to come again to the JDC. And JDC, I would say, is also a very strategic player in this market of people with disabilities. They're already known for that, you know, so it was the natural address, I would say, to form this joint venture. And so I went together and I offered them to join, and then they said immediately that they liked the idea, and they offered we get together with the Ruderman Fund, which is also a big supporter of Israel in general and JDC programs specifically.
And work with people with disabilities.
And work a lot with people with disabilities, invest tons of money in this very important issue. And then the Ministry of Economics at the time also joined, because they had this platform of JDC, so...
Okay,
we're like four partners in this non-profit, which JDC leads practically.
Which would automatically lead you to assume that it would fail.
Yeah.
So many different people getting...
Listen, I remember my first meetings on the issue about 2 years ago with JDC, and they said, let's get the Ministry of Economics involved. I said, listen, I know how it is to work with JDC. I already found out the way to work. But to get a government office, that's a big headache. And to have four partners in general is not easy, obviously, to manage. And then they said, listen, they can bring X money, and they're good with management, and they're actually quite constructive, and they let the things really work and don't worry too much, but will take more time. It's bureaucracy. It will take 15 months instead of 6 months to set up a new nonprofit. And I said, you know what? It's worth the price we're paying. And I think... I'm very happy that Ministry of Economic joined us, because it's important to have the government involved in such a venture and not just the philanthropy and the corporate sector.
Would you say that these kind of moves, is there anything specifically Israeli about this? Are there other companies around the world that you're learning from or who are learning from you?
Well, we are looking at things that have been done outside of Israel. Obviously, we didn't invent the wheel here. But I must say that something exactly what like Esek Shaveh does in Israel, I don't see. There are many organizations that endorse employment of people with disabilities around the world. There's the Zero Project of the UN, which we're also friends with, I could say it this way. But to some extent, we also have some local issues that are really the Israeli market that not necessarily are the same that you would see in the US, for example. Here, a lot of those big companies are unionized. You have labor unions, something that I think you have less in the U.S. By the way, it's to the benefit of people with disabilities. I don't see it as an obstacle. We have some new regulations in Israel, which not necessarily you see in every country, that every large employer in Israel that employs over 100 people must have at least 3% of people with disabilities employed. In the public sector, it's even 5%. So all these new laws are also
specific regulations
assisting us. Yeah, we have recently, January 17, another new law that requires that all government bids, when they work with suppliers, in order for you to supply things to the government, you must prove that you employ a certain amount of people with disabilities, which is another big reform. So all these things, both on the regulation side and the, let's say, non-profit organization side, like Esek Shaveh, are moving the whole strategic issue of employment of people with disabilities towards a solution.
I hear you using the word strategic a great deal, and this idea of this is a system and a society-wide move. It seems to be this shift from what people talk about, tzedaka, charity, to tzedek, to justice.
Yeah.
This move from me handing out a fiver or me handing out a couple of dimes to the person who needs it, to across the country shifting the way that things work.
Yeah, I think it's really an issue of human rights. It's not an issue of charity. So basically the right to be employed is something very basic that everybody should have, whether he has a disability or not. I don't greatly like the fact that it's driven by regulation. I would like the business sector to, wake up by its own, but
to act logically, as we said.
Yeah, but it will get there, I'm sure.
Fantastic. Do you have any links with Greater Washington?
I have a brother who works there. He lives there like for 15 years in DC. Is that also a link?
That sounds like a link to me.
Yeah. Okay. We used to work for Dianne Feinstein and the Democratic Party for many years, and he worked for the party itself, for the Democratic Party. And
have you visited?
Yeah, of course. I get at least once a year to visit my brother. He comes here. So, I do have some relations over there.
So we've come to the end. This has been fascinating.
Nothing on figure skating and we're at the end? Oh, I'm insulted.
Okay, so we have to ask. So I wonder whether there's something symbolic about the way in which you yourself are actually quite known for the fact that as well as being a successful business person and as well as being a successful social entrepreneur, you're also known for your leisure pursuits.
Yeah, the figure skating. I'm a figure skater. That's where I met my wife when I was 15 years old, by the way.
Good move.
In Israel, yeah. That's a very typical Israeli story. I'm laughing, of course.
Yes, most Israelis tend to meet their spouses on the skating rink.
Of course, yeah. People are sure I'm Russian or something, you know. And yeah, so I figure skate every week, four times. I love figure skating, yeah.
And there's nothing symbolic about that. This, these smooth things over that you... I'm not sure we can quite work that one, but I'll give it a try later.
Thank you very much, and bye, Washington.
So as I wait for the elevator to take me back to ground level, I'm again struck by what an honor it is to meet such amazing activists. Avner Stepak is a real SJW. He's the ultimate social justice warrior. Seriously, look, in the Jewish world, when we mean charity, we tend to use the Hebrew word tzedakah. But charity isn't all that good a translation of the Hebrew tzedakah, because charity comes from the Greek word charitas, which sort of means love and compassion. But the Hebrew word for charity, tzedakah, comes from the word for justice, tzedek. When we mean charity, we say justice. And a woman called Diana Ginsberg, another great Israeli leader in social justice, once taught me the difference between doing tzedakah, charity, and doing tzedek, doing justice. Tzedakah, what we mean by charity, is about supporting wonderful non-profits doing great work for those in need. But tzedek, justice is about trying to change a society in which there are those in need in the first place. Avner is going further than tzedakah, charity. He's ensuring justice. And I'm proud to know that you guys, the members of the Jewish community of Greater Washington, through your support of the Federation, have got his back. The Jewish Federation of Greater Washington shares the belief that progressing towards full inclusion strengthens the entire community. So you should know that as part of their commitment to disability inclusion, the Jewish Federation has developed the Inclusion Planning Tool, which provides a customized guideline for all organizations striving to expand their inclusive efforts so that everyone feels invited and encouraged to participate in Jewish life. And to find out more about Federation's Inclusion Planning Tool, go to shalomdc.org. The Jewish Federation of Greater Washington is working in partnership with Jewish Social Service Agency's Specialized Employment Department to increase disability inclusion in our area. If you're interested in learning more about participating in an internship program or employing individuals with disabilities in our community, please contact Lisa at www.shalomdc.org/disabilitiesandinclusion. And thank you for listening. This podcast, part of the Imagine Israel initiative, is brought to you by the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington and hosted and produced by me, Robbie Greengrass of Macom. You can find us on shalomdc.org/ImagineIsraelPodcast.